previously on Corporate Homie.
Country clubs, are they necessary?
Mama, I made it. I'm trying to be exclusive.
There is not a right or wrong answer.
I'm the elitist. On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
When you miss your shot.
You have a reputation now of someone who doesn't show up.
It's amazing how much luckier you get the more I practice. Talk less, smile more. Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo woo.
Welcome back.
I feel like we should play some, you know, welcome back Carter music at the beginning of the believe it or not. I don't really know the words.
I don't know the words. Why don't you just
as my niece Reagan says, just make them up on TV.
Why would you just say welcome back? You trying to
as
go
you can
into
see,
a verse.
As you can see, singing is not my ministry.
You're trying to go into a verse.
Yeah, I kind of played myself a little bit, but that's okay because that's a nice segue into what this week's episode is about. When you miss your shot, you take the shot. Sometimes you ask for the ball to be in your hands. You miss it. It's not pretty.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because, you know, that's the latest and greatest way of, you know, as the young people talk, shoot your shot. Go ahead and shoot your shot. And so I do feel like everybody has all this confidence now about shooting shots.
I blame Steph Curry because he can make a shot anywhere.
Sometimes without any work, without any preparation. Right. Without all the background information that you need to support the shot, because Steph Curry makes shots because he practices and he is excellent.
Yeah. It reminds me of Chichi Rodriguez, who was a professional golfer. And he holed out from the fairway, like 125 yards out. And as he was walking up to the green, a guy from the gallery, that's the crowd for those who are not golf fans, a guy from the gallery shouted out, "What a lucky shot." And Chi-Chi shouted back, "It's amazing how much luckier you get the more I practice." It's not luck. You're looking at skill coming together, baby, with practice. It's not luck.
Yeah, you know, Shonda Rhimes talks about that in her book, The Year of Yes. And she always says, you know, may you never be lucky, because luck implies that you had some windfall, that you received something that you were not prepared for or didn't deserve. So basically, you know, may you get the things that you work for,
that you've been working for.
And
yeah.
And may may people notice the things you work for and reward you accordingly, but you're not lucky.
Right. No. And one of my favorite examples of that are actors and actresses. So they will get some type of role where they have a full-time role or they're a main character, and people will call them an overnight sensation. And then it turns out they've been working bit roles for 5, 10, sometimes 20 years. And then you will go back and watch an old Law and Order or something and think, oh, that's so-and-so.
You'll see them. I feel like Law and Order, because it's been on television for, you know, was on television for 20 years or so, you will always go back and see people. You're like, oh, that's old Hollywood from Queen's Sugar.
Right.
Oh, that's, you know, the Jesse, yeah.
And,
right. Or all the Orange is New Black stars. I've seen them all in Law and Order episodes. And so that's a great thing. When I think about people missing their shot, before we get into like tips for what to do, I want to see what you thought about what ways that people miss their shots. Because the first thing I think about is like when people want to manage a team and then manage a team and end up having to go back and getting demoted, right? Get demoted back down. So someone gets, or maybe I should just say a demotion in general. Someone gets promoted and then they get demoted. So to me, that's the first type of missing your shot. What's one of the, we'll just go back and forth with types. What do you think are types of missing your shot?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think another missed shot is somebody misunderstanding or overplaying their hand with a new career opportunity. So somebody says to you high up in your organization, hey, I think you should interview for this practice leader position, or I think you should interview for this, you know, managerial role, and somehow you take that as that you don't have to interview, that the interview is some type of formality and you can go in there and do whatever and you're going to be given the job. And then so they take something that was probably a 95% probability of winning and turn it into a 5% probability of winning because they performed so poorly in the interview.
Oh, because they were ill prepared for the interview? Is that what you think?
It's not about ill. It's not I don't know if it's a lack of, sometimes it's ego, sometimes it's a lack of preparation, but for whatever reason, something that should have been where a slam dunk doesn't become a slam dunk because you did something wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Another one I think is salary ask. And we've had a couple of homies.
That's a good one.
Reach out. We had a gentleman very recently, which actually was one of the catalysts towards this episode, was a gentleman was trying to get a lockstep promotion, but felt like he was really undervalued in the market, and they seemed amenable to giving him the promotion. But as he was getting the promotion, because he failed to talk about salary in connection with being promoted, so he waited until after they said, yes, we'll promote you. And then he came back with, like, you know, what's the money looking like, sort of in connection with the raise, as opposed to sort of having it all together, and basically asked for, I think it was an $80,000 raise in connection with the new role.
And they didn't say yes to that?
And they did not say yes to that. And the feedback that he heard through the grapevine, right, not actual feedback, was, okay, this is why you hadn't been promoted. Like, basically, people think you're a clown.
Right.
Like, people think, not literally a clown, but people think you don't have good judgment. And when you ask for the $80,000 raise, that
it kind of speaks to your judgment. it does very loudly.
Right.
Oh, that's a fantastic example. I've seen people box themselves out of opportunities a lot because of salary, both being too high and, you know, mainly being just outlandish in what their salary expectations are, especially for, you know, like you said, a lockstep type of position. The last one that I think of when I think about people missing their shot is civic engagement, board engagement, and then that turns around to the poor performance there, not following through there, not doing your good work there, translates into your not being able to get professional work, not being able to get referrals. It ends up affecting your professional work, because what is that saying? How you do one thing is how you do everything. And so people somehow think that it's okay. So, for example, I had a friend who served as a board secretary. I'm sorry, not a board secretary. We had a friend who was the chair of the chamber. And as chair of the chamber, you have up to like six people that you can give a one-year appointment to. This person put a young attorney on the board, you know, as a nod to where they saw their career going, them being a, you know, engaged,
okay,
mover and shaker, as they say, in the business community. And the attorney never came to a board meeting. Not one single board meeting. And the reason why I know this is because, I mean, I was on the board, but the reason why I know that it can hurt you is later on his name got thrown out to do something else in the community that had a higher profile, and they were like, oh no, he doesn't take civic engagements seriously. I put him on the board, so-and-so put him on the board for the chamber, he never came to a meeting. So that you're not even being, you don't even, and that's what we're talking about. What's not, when you're not in the room, important decisions are being made. When you're not in the room, important decisions are being made.
Yes, what people say about you. Right. And this is, and that's you missing your shot. And so now you want a shot at something else, but you missed your shot because you have a reputation now of someone who doesn't show up. So I guess the real issue is sort of, how do you recover from missing your shot and you know, this is, I guess I would like to say, or sort of we should emphasize that this is different from
recovering from a mistake at work.
You know, recovering from your mistakes. Right, which we did in episode 24.
Yeah, and I really took the approach of what can you do to make sure you don't miss your shot? You know, because I think that most people, they may, or I guess not to make sure you don't, but make sure you don't do it again. Because maybe you don't understand why or how you missed that shot. So, I mean, we can go ahead and just get into it unless you had some other opening comments.
No, go ahead. Let's do it.
So, my best and favorite example of, you know, is evaluate if you are actually in your right lane. Like, some of the reasons why you miss your shot is you're in the wrong lane. And so Demetra talked about, you know, people getting into leadership opportunities and then somehow that not going well and then being asked to take a step back and then go into a self-production role, which many people say that you got demoted. And my favorite example of that is when Magic Johnson was trying to be a coach. Magic Johnson is, in my mind, the greatest basketball player of all time. He could play all five positions, but I think he had so much natural God-given talent. He didn't know how to translate that to other people into a form of a coach. And I've seen this at work a lot, is that, and I remember Daddy talked about this a lot in the Air Force. This is just kind of the way the world works. People think, oh, because you're good at this, you'd be good at leading people to do that. And the question is, you need to ask yourself, like, is that my ministry? Am I actually in the right lane, or is it my ministry just being the best lawyer, being the best banker, being the best basketball player, not trying to coach people to do?
Oh, that's a great, I guess that's a great point, because if you do try to move up to the coach level, then you're going to miss your shot, because that's not where your talent or maybe even desires lie. Because I do feel like sometimes people miss their shot because they're taking someone else's shot.
It's the same thing. Evaluating. Are you even in the right lane?
Right. So I'm saying, like, yeah, just to follow up on what you're saying. Yeah, I think that sometimes people miss their shot because they're like, oh, I'm supposed to want to coach because I'm, you know, play, or I'm supposed to want to be in administration because I teach. And so, and then they find out they don't like administration, or worse, they're not very good at administration, or I should want to manage a team because I've been here 5 years and everybody else wants to be a manager. And so I think that's a really, really good point. My first tip is stay calm. A lot of times, or keep your feelings out of it. People miss their shot because they are led by their emotions. And so, sort of to go with your first tip, I mean, the shot missing, when you were talking about being in an interview where it's a 95% chance that you should have gotten an interview, I mean, should have gotten a job. In situations like that where people have missed that, what I have seen is it's something with their emotions got ahead of them. Sometimes it's preparation, but that's rare. Normally, the person says something like in the interview and they start thinking like, he's carrying this, like I'm actually interviewing and I'm supposed to already have this job. And so their feelings get the best of them, their ego and that, et cetera, and they go left, right?
And they get sidetracked.
They go all the way left. Or it's time to lead a team and they get some criticism. Again, their feelings get ahead of them and they're left. And now they're not a good leader. And so I would just say, you know, don't overreact. People don't try. If your feelings are hurt, try not to act on your feelings. Stay calm.
I love that. Stay calm. And, you know, don't be, you know, so much in your feelings. Because, I mean, part of, you know, being a good leader, making shots, however you want to put it, is being able to stay calm and not react to every, you know, insult or everything that happens. And that dovetails very nicely into my point, which is everything is not about you. And you're so vain.
Hello, somebody. Everything is not about you.
So sometimes things are about the organization. Sometimes things are about the team. And I think sometimes the reason why people are being emotional or they're not able to stay calm is because they think that it's about them. And so I'll give you an example. One of my good friends here works for a nonprofit, and she was asked, she's actually a sorority sister, and she was asked to interview to be, she runs a nonprofit location here today, and they have locations all over the state, and she was asked to go like be a regional and have like three of those, and she was asked to do that by what would be her boss. And so again, she kind of thought about it like, oh, this is kind of a, you know, set. And so, you know, she had this opportunity to lead like three locations for this nonprofit versus one. And when she got to essentially the conversation, the interview, whatever you want to call it, you know, the person was like, you've never done this before. I mean, you're going to have like four times the responsibility. Do you know what you're doing? And then she just basically became incredulous in the interview, like, it was, and to the point where the person who recommended her on the back end called her, was like, what the what? What happened? And then she was like, they didn't want me. That person already knew who they wanted to hire, and it wasn't me, okay?
and that's always the case. I mean, there's always, or I won't say always, but that's more likely than not that there's a leading candidate. So that can't be why you failed to take your shot.
Right. Right. And it was just, I was just like, even when she was telling me the story, I'm like, say what now? You did what?
Right.
And my thing is like, maybe you're right. Maybe they already had someone else in mind, but you didn't even give yourself a shot. You missed your shot because you were thinking that everything was about you, and it wasn't about you.
And now you've left, you know, leaving a very negative impact, which I guess is, I would say, is the problem with always missing your shot at work. Because like I said, this isn't about recovering from a mistake. This is about a very big global miss, which ends up having or exposes you to backlash in the workplace.
Absolutely.
So once you miss these shots, you have exposed yourself to backlash, which makes you have to figure out, you know, what's next for you. I think a lot of times people miss their shots because they fail to take responsibility. And I guess that sort of goes in line with what you're saying. Like, they think it's about them, or they're not able to step back and see their role. So even in sort of the situation you were talking about, I wonder if when she looks back at the situation, if she sees it as a missed opportunity, as a missed shot, or if she just sees it as the people didn't want me, there was nothing I could have done, like doesn't have any personal responsibility in the situation. And I feel like whenever you're approaching new things, new opportunities, if you don't see your own role in a failure,
sure,
then you will always miss your shot. You will, and you will always.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, that's in personal relationships, professional relationships. If you don't see where your responsibility, what your role is, you are doomed to do that again, unfortunately. Fantastic point. I think the next reason why people miss their shots is they're unclear about the power dynamic. And somehow, you know, we did a whole episode on corporate hierarchy, and I've seen people miss shots significantly because they get sideways with the wrong person who has a tremendous amount of power, or they become chummy or friendly with a direct boss. And then when something happens and that direct boss has to remind them that they are the support subordinate, they're like, what are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. So they get sideways, confused, unclear, misunderstanding power dynamics.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. I have definitely seen that happen to people, have colleagues or people who were their equals, and then they get promoted. And sort of then really misunderstand, you know, how that's going to work, and sort of, you know, taking it from that position. So, yeah, for sure.
And then the final point I wanted to make, I think, of why people miss their shot, which this sounds like low-hanging fruit, but I've seen this hurt people over the years, is just lack of personal integrity. You know, you're not going to make very many shots when you don't have any personal value system. It will eventually catch up to you. You will be missing shots. They will hurt you long term. And those are, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I guess at some point you just have to decide you want to be a person of integrity. But I think lack of personal integrity is a big reason why people miss shots.
That is true. You know, you do have to be guided by some type of moral compass and how you're going to, you know, lead things. My last thing was people miss their shots because they have a lack of awareness. So people are in situations, it's going left.
It makes you cringe. You're like, don't do that. Stop that.
It's going left. You know, I've been really working on for myself, you know, just using my own self as an example, that I am a talker. And so I tend to talk over people and interrupt people. And it doesn't bother me when people do that for me. But like in the last probably 2 months, I've been really working on that. Every time someone starts talking while I'm talking, I just stop talking so I can listen to them, so that I can be aware. Like, clearly there's something they wanted to say. And not just to wait, like having some awareness. You can't follow conversations. You can't follow clues of people. Like, even in back to that interview, if you're in an interview, you could probably see that it's going left and maybe even remedy it in the interview, and they would leave with a positive message. But most of the people, they're negotiating the salary, right? Those, we'll use those two examples. You're negotiating the salary and it's going left, and you're not reading the tea leaves. And you're saying to the people, like, well, what kind of salary? And they're saying, well, it's normally a cost of living. And you're like, well, I'll get you some data. Because to me, when someone says it's normally a cost of living, they're not interested in
data.
It's
a no.
They're not interested in data.
Right.
And so you have a lack of awareness. Or if you're in the interview and you're acting like you have the job and the person's interviewing you like you don't, you have a lack of awareness. You need to be aware. And some of that is you need to be quiet so that you can hear what people are saying and read their body language. But you can't do that if you're always the star of the show. You're always the next person, you know, trying to get back to the mic. Like, back, you know, as we would like to say when we're talking.
Back to me.
Back to me.
Talk less. Smile more.
Talk less. What? Smile more.
Smile more.
Look,
come on, Hamilton fans.
Yeah. So, no, I think that is 100%, because if you have more awareness, then you have the ability, like you said, not only to actually listen to what's being said, but more importantly, you have an opportunity to pay attention to the body language. And as we know, 92% of communication is nonverbal. Only 8% is the content that's actually being said. So, like you said, more than likely, in those scenarios, somebody leaned back, set their pen down. Wait, well, we don't normally do that. That's saying, I'm not doing that. They cross their arms. They close their notebook, which means I'm done with this conversation. There are things that people do to communicate that we're not going to be together on that. And so that's probably not something you want to dig in on. That's essentially everything that I had that I wanted to share. I think this is an important topic because, I mean, we've all had a conversation and we're like, ooh, I don't think that went so well, right? What's interesting is what Demetra said, I want the homies to finish with. Always look at your role in that, because I've seen people where they're like, I don't think that went well, so I'm not interested in that. Instead of, I don't know, I had an out-of-body experience. I started talking, I couldn't stop myself. I was saying crazy stuff.
And I've done that, right? We've all done that, where you're like, stop talking. Why are you still talking? What are you saying? Or you're so entrenched in your position that you can't even listen to the other person. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so as always, drop us a comment or send us a message in the direct message on what you thought about this episode. You know, we love all the feedback. This came from direct conversations with homies, so we really appreciate all the continued feedback we get from you guys.
Yes, and if you have a topic that you want covered, just feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie, homie is HOMIE.com. And if you would like for us to come out and speak at your organization, send us an email at info@corporatehomie.com.
And you can find us on all of the major social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.